Hag Sameach, which means joyous festival, as we welcome you to the Shofar Ministry program. This is Dan with our effervescent teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Shalom, saints of God. Well, spring has arrived, and soon we will celebrate the resurrection. Thanks for tuning in to part three of the Spring Appointments of Our Lord. Let's bow our hearts as my husband opens tonight's study with prayer.
Abba, Father, you are our El Shaddai, God Almighty, who sent us, your Passover lamb, to earth, and that is our reason to live. For without your salvation, we have nothing. Because of your resurrection, we can confess that Satan is a defeated foe, soon to be realized even more so at your second coming. We continue to lift up to you our unsaved loved ones, and also for the many recent health requests. May your shalom be granted to all the listeners as we pray this study blesses them, and that you, Father, are blessed as well. Smile down upon your church and protect us from evil. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, tonight we continue the teaching on the spring appointments of God, particularly tonight on his resurrection, April 4th this year.
Some refer to it as Easter.
Scripturally, it's the Feast of First Fruits.
All these programs are archived on our webpage, in case you missed any.
And I must add that as part of your fellowship with Jesus, his church is to be used to further his kingdom, and sharing is essential. So please pass on this information to others, even non-Christians, because many still are not connecting the dots that these seven appointments were made by God, and his Son is fulfilling them.
Four down, three to go.
Amen. In spite of so much going on around us, we are very blessed to live in such a time as this, to probably see the remaining fulfillment of his last three, already scheduled, his appointments.
Before we get started, any important news over the week?
Well, Israel's elections are today for the fourth time in 2 years. The last three elections failed to produce a workable majority government because each time the right-wing bloc won, it was always slightly less than the required minimum 61 seats. You see, the people vote for a party, and there are about seven. And they're the strongest, really, but there's actually around 13. But anyway, still the party who receives the most votes expected to be Netanyahu's Likud party usually still has to combine with another party to total 61 seats, which is the majority of the 120-seat Knesset. Then after all the mail-in ballots are received and counted, which can take a while, and then if President Rivlin approves, a new government is set in place.
So, in other words, we'll have an idea, but not conclusive for possibility, even in a few weeks.
Not sure, but anyway, as of this afternoon, when we were getting ready to do this, put this program together, Netanyahu's party was leading, so we'll see.
Okay, moving on to COVID. Will vaccines mandates be inevitable?
Well, Florida says no way.
But the federal government could override the states.
They could, but it's more probable that transportation, hospitals, businesses, etc. will require it. And, you know, the vaccine passports, well, they're already in the works. But our newsletter goes into that more fully, which went out yesterday. But more evidence is surfacing to at least wait and keep researching. Even many healthcare workers are saying no. Also, check out Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's more recent findings. And again, at least wait a year to witness any damaging long-term effects, which we expect there will be.
But will they connect it to the vaccines?
Probably not.
Right.
Just take care of your temple, church. You know, God uniquely made us, and it does heal itself if you nourish it properly.
And you have a quote from Dr. Bashi?
Oh, right. You know, he's a prominent leader in vaccine development in the world. And he's called on the WHO to immediately halt all the vaccine, COVID vaccination campaigns. He says, well, here's the quote. He says, these vaccines are unlike any other in that it causes one to lose their own innate immune system, limiting any future response to upcoming variants.
In other news, and as we have stated before, we need to be praying about two bills the Dems are trying to pass.
Yes. First, the Equality Act, already passed in the House and now heading to the Senate, which is meant to hurt Christians and enforce the Hate Crimes Act, and that if you are caught not hiring, and that includes churches, or saying anything negative about a sodomite or any LGBTQ activity, you will be fined with possible and with possible jail time.
Well, Jesus said, if they persecuted him, they will persecute us.
And any dissent will be censored.
Will we remain on the air?
Well, we're not changing, so it's all in God's hands. Anyhow, at this point, a filibuster of 60 votes is needed to pass, which is why the Dems want to change that rule to keep it a simple majority of 50 plus the vice president. Therefore, if the filibuster stays, and we pray that's the case, then it should not pass for now. However, if they can use what they term reconciliation, as they used in that pork-filled socialist COVID stimulus bill, including money to prisoners, by the way, well, then Christians, I think we're going to suffer. And by the way, in that last COVID stimulus bill, they canceled the farmers' loan debts, which I guess is a good thing, except if you are a white farmer.
Right. Only minorities qualify.
Right. So the principalities in high places want to increase our debt so much so that we will easily accept the New World Order's carrot of all debts canceled. With each upcoming so-called stimulus bill, oh, there will be more socialist cookies extending their briberies into your life.
And then there's the HR1 bill.
Yes, we pretty much all know that the presidential election was stolen, and we'll continue in the midterm elections in 2022 if the HR1 gets through the Senate. It will remove the state's legislative rules for voting by replacing them with the federal government's mail-in voting, which allows counting the ballots up to 10 days later, and immigrants can vote too.
Fraud at its finest.
And there's a lot more in this bill, and easy to find actually on the internet. But now that COVID cannot be used as a factor, they must make their fraud legal. Again, it's passed in the House, but at this point also needs a 60 vote margin in the Senate.
And it's pretty obvious now that Biden will soon be gone.
Oh, for sure. And he refuses to meet with Putin.
Yeah, because Putin will eat his lunch.
In fact, any of our adversaries would probably do that, which is why he sent others to Alaska to meet with the Chinese officials.
Which did not go well.
And it's President Harris, as Biden called her. She's the one who talks to the leaders of other countries.
Even Israel.
Mm-hmm. And then there's the invasion at our southern border, which will further increase our debt and more COVID. More drugs, sex trafficking to include minors.
The cartels are charging a fortune to get illegals over the border.
Yeah. And then they are their slaves until they can pay back what they owe them. Anyway, be sure to read our recent newsletter articles, which, by the way, includes an expected cyber attack. And they already have a name for it. It's called Cyber Polygon. And they're already practicing for it. Remember how they practiced for COVID-19? It was called Event 201, and that was in October of 2019.
Okay, if you have an end time question or would like to make a comment, there are three ways to connect with us. You can email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or just call the office and leave a very detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. And prayerfully consider a much-needed gift of blood, which also can be made on our webpage, shofarministries.net, and we will add your name to our mailing list for our monthly newsletters and all archived along with these programs, which are still free for all.
Yes, it is. Okay, now for the good stuff. This week, Passover will begin this year, 2021, at sundown on March 27th.
That's this Saturday.
Yes. And then on Sunday at sundown begins the 7 days of unleavened bread. And again, no yeast or leaven could be eaten, Leviticus 23:6 says. And of course, this is all before Christ fulfilled it.
Leaven in Scripture is always a picture of sin.
And Jesus, being unleavened, died and paid the debt for our sins. You know, over the last few weeks, we've looked at a lot. We looked at how Passover was a preparation day and that the Seder meal was eaten.
Then Thursday, his crucifixion.
And his side being pierced at 3 p.m., which was the exact same time as the killing of the sacrificial lamb. And then they took Jesus off the cross just before the high Sabbath day of unleavened bread began, which began at sundown.
We also compared the first Passover in Egypt with the slaughtered lamb.
And then their departure as well. Again, Passover is Nisan 14 on the Hebrew calendar. It's one 24-hour period from sundown to sundown. Jesus had his Seder meal in the evening on Wednesday and then washed the apostles' feet, which represented the washing by God's word for their total sanctification.
Ephesians 5:26.
He died on Thursday before sundown, so still the 14th, laid in the tomb at sundown, now the 15th.
And the Feast of Unleavened Bread.
Mm-hmm. And after 3 days in the tomb, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, Jesus rose early Sunday morning during the morning watch.
Leviticus 23:11.
And by the way, that year was Nisan 17 and the Feast of First Fruits. And the Feast of First Fruits must always be on a Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. And now you can read that scripture.
Leviticus 23:11.
Oh, we're not going to read that yet, are we? Oh, we are down here, but not yet.
Okay.
Okay, but another point we want to make is now the Jewish people simply call the whole 8 days the season of Passover to include the 7 days of unleavened bread, where the first fruits, as we already said, is always the Sunday during the 7 days of unleavened bread.
But since the Dark Ages, first fruits is pretty much ignored by the Jewish people.
I know, it is. Probably because the Christians celebrate it as the resurrection. But it's a good question to ask a Jewish person, for when I asked, they just say it's not necessary because they don't farm the barley anymore. Anyhow, Nisan 17 is also the anniversary, as I've said before, of when Haman was hung in the book of Esther, sparing the death of all the Jews, therefore granting life.
And also on Nisan 17, Noah's Ark landed on Mount Ararat, representing new life as well.
Amen. So let's read the scripture now, defining the barley, Feast of First Fruits, Leviticus 23:10-11.
Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of your first fruits of your harvest to the priest. He shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted on your behalf on the day after the Sabbath. The priest shall wave it.
Okay, so here comes a gold nugget that many have not understood. Jesus, as our priest, also presented himself to the Father in heaven at the morning oblation.
9 a.m.
Mm-hmm. Now, remember when Mary Magdalene, being the first to see Jesus resurrected, wanted to embrace him, but he instructed her not to touch him at this time, for he had not yet gone to his Father.
In heaven.
Yeah. You see, the priests were not to have any contact for 3 days till after this special first fruits offering to God in the temple.
Yeshua was just following Jewish law.
Yeah, he instead told Mary to go to his brethren and say unto them that he was about to ascend to his Father and your Father and to my God and your God.
John 20, verse 17. Also confirmed in Hebrews 9:12.
Mm-hmm. And again in the parenthetical chapter of Revelation 12, in verse 5, because Jesus is the male child who ascended quickly. The Greek word is harpazo, same as in our rapture, meaning in a twinkling of an eye. So, after he returned,
later that same day,
yes, it was still Sunday, he appeared to his disciples and then encouraged them to touch him.
Luke 24, verse 39.
So, he fulfilled the wave offering too, by quickly leaving the earth, presented himself to his Father, and returned fulfilling every aspect of the Feast of First Fruits, literally. Now he could be touched, and even ate fish and honey with them.
He also breathed the Holy Spirit on them,
which opened their understanding of Scripture. They were now ready to preach the gospel. Also, the Feast of First Fruits is the scriptural day when they were to begin the counting of 50 days to Pentecost, as the Lord commanded in Leviticus 23:15 and 16.
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheet of the wave offering
on first fruits,
7 Sabbaths shall be counted. Completed. Count 50 days to the day after the seventh Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
In other words, they always begin counting on Sunday during the week of unleavened bread, which would always be the first fruits. That way, that way, Pentecost could always be on a Sunday as well. Unfortunately, again, the modern Jews, since they don't recognize first fruits, they start counting from the first day of unleavened bread. So Pentecost doesn't usually fall on a Sunday on their calendar. You might have noticed that. But we follow the Word of God over all traditions, especially if they conflict with God's Word.
Everything God does is so precise, so orderly, and with so much detail.
Right. And he rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits because he is the first fruits of the resurrection, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:20.
But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterward those who are Christ's at his coming.
Let's look at some more scriptures for the term first fruits. Maybe you could read Romans 8:22, and that's from the original in the Greek.
For we know that the whole creation groans together and travails until now. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly expecting adoption, the redemption,
or resurrection,
of our body.
We, the church, are the first fruits to receive internally the Holy Spirit as part of our salvation. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came upon people as he wished, but did not live inside the righteous till Jesus came. And in actuality, it is the whole Trinity that resides in us according to Scripture. The Son, we see in Colossians 1:27, the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 6:19, but also the Father. So we've got the whole Trinity according to Ephesians 4:6.
One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all.
And in you all. That is just, that's just amazing to me. Okay, back to the word first fruits. The Hebrews were the first elect, according to Isaiah 45:4, chosen in the Old Testament. And the church elect is the first to be chosen in the New Testament. So let's now look at Revelation 14, whose context is about the 144,000 that are immediately saved and then sealed in chapter 7 for protection during the tribulation, where John gets a future vision of the 12 tribes of Israel singing around the throne. And here's what Revelation 14, 3 and 4 says.
They, the 12 tribes, sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 144,000 who were redeemed from the earth. These are the ones who were not defiled with women,
meaning goddesses,
for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever he goes. These were redeemed from among men, and being first fruits to God and to the Lamb.
So, in Revelation 14, we see another group called the first fruits. Okay, question. How can there be another group referred to the first fruits when I thought we are the first fruits? Well, easy, because we're not here. So, if you are one of those who think we are here for the tribulation, or even any part of it, you cannot answer this question of why they are called the first fruits when actually we are. Only one way. Obviously, we are no longer on earth, and they are the first fruits to get saved during the tribulation and are fortunately spared from any harm. Wow. You know, over 20 years ago when I was really researching the pre-trib rapture teaching, I examined a lot of these important details overlooked by many. Just like, how come the church is absent after chapter 3 when mentioned about 19 times before that? And you know all about that. But anyway, Jesus was raised on the Feast of First Fruits, which unfortunately most mix with calling it Easter. But Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection during the week-long Feast of Unleavened Bread, which closes on Nisan 22, the eighth and final day of the whole season, which is an important day as well, and a holy day and a high Sabbath. So, we'll finish this next time. Tune in next week. We're going to have some more gold nuggets, especially about John the Baptist. The major question, are you saved? If not, you're running out of time. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. So until next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. That's Psalm 122, verse 6. Again, tell everybody about Jesus. He's coming soon. Till next time, shalom.
thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.